Welcome back, ladies, as we open up the final chapter of Galatians in our study that has been clarifying the gospel for us from the beginning to end of this book. We are seeing who Jesus is and what he's done for us in the gospel, and that we get to walk out the stuff of the gospel in chapter 6 is where we're at. And so titled this lesson, Life Together, Bearing One Another's Burdens. We just finished walking by the Spirit, looking at the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit and the evidence of what it looks like to be led by the Spirit. Those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, we now have the Spirit of God in us. And now the life that we live by faith in Jesus is led by the Spirit of God. And we do that together. It is not a solo journey. I want to focus in on that as we begin chapter 6, because chapter 6 is the outpouring of walking by the Spirit in chapter 5. The freedom that we get in Jesus, the freedom to love and serve others that is led by the Spirit of God, pours out into our relationships and it builds up community. So that's why it's about living life together in the family of God. And I want you to picture with me as we go through this lesson that we're on a journey as Christians to our heavenly home with Jesus forever. And so we're not yet there, and we are journeying on the paths that God has given us, and we're not alone in the journey. We are sojourners together. We're linking arms as we travel through this world, this temporal world that Paul referred to as a present evil age in chapter 1. And as we travel together, I even brought my backpack here. I want you to envision traveling, whether it's a mountain backpacking or just going to school backpacking trip. I want you to think of our backpacking journeys toward a destination of Jesus in heaven one day. And I want you to think of that journey together with your Christian brothers and sisters. And then these next few verses in chapter 6 are instructions for us as brothers and sisters in Christ of how to live a Spirit-filled life in community, how that plays out in our lives together. But before we get there, I want to remind us of the last two verses of chapter 5. Chapter 5, verses 25 and 26 said, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." And then we're going to jump into what the life led by the Spirit looks like in relationships in these next five verses. But before we get there, what is the contrast here? A life that is led by the Spirit, that is in step with the Spirit of God, is not conceited. And I want to talk about that word conceited. You could break it down to mean vain glory, someone who is empty of honor, who has a false view of themselves. We're told all over Scripture to not be conceited. Philippians 2 gives us a picture where we're not to be conceited, but rather the opposite is to have the mind of Christ, to put on the humility of Jesus Christ. So Jesus in his humility is the opposite of conceited. But what I want us to see here is that when we are conceited, when we have a false view of ourselves and we're just empty of honor and we're vain in our glory, we're looking for ways to fill that glory and to fill that cup of honor. And so it makes us now look at people differently. Our conceit comes out either in provoking another or envying another. In a very simple way, when we live conceited, we have a false view of ourselves that is either superior or inferior. When we have a false view of ourselves, it is impossible to have a correct view of others. And I want us to consider that as we move into chapter 6. Because Galatians has been telling us, Galatians 2:20, our theme verse, says that I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. When I understand who I am, no longer my old self, but Christ lives in me, and my security dwells in Jesus Christ, my Savior, then I can live by faith in the Son of God, and I can love others as he calls me to, because I know who I am in him. I'm secure. I'm not looking for somebody else to fill a need that I lack, because Jesus Christ has fulfilled all of my needs. When you're secure in Christ and you know who you are, then you can see and love others as Christ calls you to love. When you're secure in Christ and you know who you are, then you can live life together, bearing one another's burdens. And so that is the essence of where I want us to begin in our journeys. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have become children of God. And in the family of God, family bears one another's burdens. This is the main point that I want us to consider today. Family bears one another's burdens. And remember, this is not the blood-related family member of this world, though we hope that we can build families that also do this. But this family is the family of God, the children of God who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. We now have an eternal family. We have a heavenly Father, and we bear one another's burdens. It's the design that our Father has for us as we go through this life. And so let's begin in chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, and again, anytime you see the word brothers, the Greek here is brothers and sisters. It's an all-inclusive word for the community. So I want you to hear this, brothers and sisters. So again, family language. Paul is using the family language, and he says, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Now, at first glance, some of those verses seem like they might be contradictory, but they're not. And we're just going to walk through one by one, as we usually do, to see, again, the main point, that family bears one another's burdens. And what do we see in the very first verse that family bears one another's burdens? Brothers and sisters, sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. First part of that, I want us to talk about. Number one, we restore in gentleness. Family who bears one another's burdens, the family members, we, the sisters and brothers in Jesus Christ, we restore in gentleness. What did Paul say? He says, if anyone is caught in any transgression, this word caught is not like, I caught you. Like, this is not something where we are to go around as the sin police looking after people and finding them in sin. Rather, it's a caught that means that they've been entangled, ensnared. Maybe they're drowning in sin. They're stuck and they're in danger of destroying their souls because of the sin. And maybe they don't even see it. Maybe it's a blind spot for them. If anyone's caught, stuck in this sin, then it says, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Let's talk about you who are spiritual. That does not mean a spiritually elite group or class of Christians. Like, this does not mean that, oh, the pastors and the women's ministry directors or the elders and the deacons, only they have responsibility to do this work. No, let's remember the context of where we're at. What did chapter 5 just tell us? It says that if we're led by the Spirit of God, we walk by the Spirit of God, we keep in step with the Spirit of God. So Paul is talking to people who walk by the Spirit of God. Sister, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ and your life is led by the Spirit of God, then you have a role to play in your brothers and sisters' lives. For anyone you see caught in sin, you who are walking by the Spirit of God should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. So this is not something done by a special kind of Christian. This is something done by one who is walking by the Spirit of God, keeping in step with the Spirit of God, who has the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. And as they are caring for and loving others by serving others, when they see someone caught, they want to respond and help. I was thinking about this as an example. I don't know if any of you have any of those like old mouse traps that snap. They're like really painful and terrible. But we also have the new kind where you get stuck, like it's such a sticky substance on the mousetrap that's just, you get stuck in it. One of my nephews one time was playing and running through the house and got stuck in the mousetrap. Thankfully it was the sticky kind and no longer the snappy kind, but couldn't get out of it on his own. Can you imagine if I, as his loving family member, walked through the garage, say it was one of the old snaps, and he's got his fingers snapped in that trap, crying and wailing, and he's unable to get out of that stuck position on his own. Do I walk by and say, too bad, you got yourself into that mess, you got to get yourself out? Or not my business, not my problem? Or, oh, I'm not a special mouse trap operator, not my role, can't get him out? None of those responses would be a loving response of his aunt. In a similar way, as a sister in Christ, if I notice that someone is stuck in a trap of sin and that sin is harming them physically and spiritually, emotionally, all the ways that sin does, my response that would be led by the Spirit is to restore that brother or sister in a spirit of gentleness. And so let's talk about restore. What does the word restore mean? I love the word because in the Greek, it's actually a word used for resetting a dislocated bone or limb. It's like a mending, even the fishing nets that they used to have in these days. It's a putting back together, adjusting and putting in order and healing kind of restore. So that restoration piece, if you've ever had a bone that has gone dislocated, like a finger even, if it's dislocated and hanging off, it usually requires somebody to put it back in place. You can put it back, maybe it's your shoulder that's fallen out and you need somebody to come, and that is a painful process. So sometimes the restoration process requires a little bit of pain. Sometimes our journey of caring for a brother or sister will be hurtful initially, but what it will do is it will restore the bone to its proper place. It will bring that brother or sister back in line with the gospel in step with the Spirit of God. Remember, Paul gave us a perfect example in chapter 2 when he called Peter out. He publicly did that. Maybe that hurt Peter's reputation for a moment. It hurt his ego for a moment. But what did it do? It brought him back in line with the gospel. It restored him. It restored him. And then what lastly are we called to do in our restoring? We're called to do it in a spirit of gentleness, which goes hand in hand with those who walk by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God bears the fruit of gentleness, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. God's heart for his children is gentle. One of the only places where Jesus even describes his own posture is in Matthew when he says that I am gentle and lowly of heart. He invites his children to come to him when we're weary, when we're burdened, and he gives us his gentleness and he says, take my yoke upon you and walk with me. That's his gentle heart to care for his children in need. And so what are we doing? We're following in the steps of Jesus. If we who walk by the Spirit of God restore brothers and sisters in gentleness. So I want you to consider that, ladies. In the family of God, as we bear one another's burdens, we restore in gentleness. And then what was next? What was next in verse 1? We keep watch on our pride. We keep watch on our pride. The rest of that verse says, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Now, who are we to think that we could not sin like our brother and sister? That is just the pride and arrogance of our own hearts to come in thinking better of ourselves than we ought to think. And again, just like we talked about at the end of chapter 5, let us not be conceited. As we approach a brother and sister in need who's caught in sin, we have to make sure that our motive is love, our motive is compassion, and our motive has been led by the Spirit of God, not by our thinking better of ourselves than we ought to think, or thinking less of ourselves than we ought to think, but rather we should keep watch so that we're not tempted to jump into the same sin or to get caught in our own pride. It may not be the sin that our brother or sister is stuck in that we join them in, though that could happen. When you think you're coming alongside someone to help pull them out of an addiction or a drunken habit, whatever that might be, the works of the flesh that we talked about last week, you have to be careful lest you too fall into the same situation that they're struggling with. But I think more than that, I think we ought to be careful to keep watch on our pride. More than anything, we might think that we are better than our brother or sister. They're caught in that sin, but I would never get caught in that sin. I can't believe you're struggling with this. And maybe we would never say that out loud, but in our minds and in our hearts, do we think highly of ourselves in a way that thinks we couldn't fall prey to sin? We have to keep watch on our pride. Paul says, lest you too be tempted. And then what does he say in verse 2? This is the overarching theme of the whole lesson. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Number 3, we carry and share burdens. As the family of God, as sisters in Christ, we carry and share burdens. What does it mean to bear one another's burdens? That word burdens is a word for something that's a heavy, too heavy to carry on top. Like think of a yoke, not like what Jesus says to take my yoke upon you because it's easy and light, but think of like a big wooden beam stacked upon your shoulder as you're trying to journey down the path of life. Think of it being extra rocks being put into your backpack where they're these stones that you just can't carry on your own. Those are the types of burdens that Paul is referring to, and he really is referring to life's hardships. It could be anything. It could be grief. It could be responsibilities, problems, anything that's too heavy to carry alone. As an example, I'm getting ready to move from my house, and you know there's a lot of things that I can pack up and do on my own. Like I can pack up dishes in the kitchen, and I can pack up my room, and I can pack up the small things. But I cannot carry the piano out and load it onto a truck by myself. I can't take up the big pieces of furniture and the things that we have in our home on my own. That's going to require help. And in the same way as we journey through life, there are burdens that are too big for us to carry alone. And we must, as sisters in Christ, come alongside one another to carry those burdens with each other. It's one of the most beautiful ways that we can show our love and our lives lived by the Spirit of God. Why do we say that? Because Paul says that. What does he say? When you bear one another's burdens, you fulfill the law of Christ. And all through Galatians, we've been talking about how we're no longer under the law of Moses. So why would Paul use law language here? Is he trying to put a new law on us that's burdensome? Not at all. This is linking us back to chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, when Paul is saying that the law of Christ is that we would love our neighbors as ourselves. Bearing one another's burdens is equal to loving one another. This is the call of the Christian. This is the way of life. This is the journey. We cannot avoid bearing one another's burdens if we live in the family of God. It's actually our duty to bear one another's burdens. And it's a privilege that we've been given. And it's a joy when we get to do it together. But not only are we called to come alongside a sister or brother who's burdened with a heavy weight, this is why I said we carry and share burdens. Ladies, I think sometimes, I'm speaking from my own point of view here, I think sometimes my conceit, my ego, my wrong view of self tends to tell me that I should carry my stuff on my own and not share what's going on and not share what's difficult for me because I don't want to burden someone else. Do you ever hear yourself use that language? I don't want to burden you with this. I didn't want to burden you with that. I don't want to be a burden. Those phrases are contrary to the life together in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus actually calls us to bear one another's burdens. And so part of My role as a sister in Christ is to share what's burdening my heart with others who could carry the burden with me. I have a wrong, false view of myself if I think that I can carry all of life's burdens by myself. And of course, we have Jesus, who the Bible tells us bore all of our sins on the cross. He himself bore our sin in his own body on the tree, that we might live and have righteousness in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us that. And in Isaiah 53, it says, Jesus, surely he bore all of our griefs. He bore it all. He bore the burden of our salvation at the cross. He actually, Isaiah says, was crushed by our iniquities and sin. So only Jesus could take the burden of salvation away from any of us. But as sisters and brothers in Christ, we're called to come alongside one another to carry the additional burdens of life in the journey that we are on to Jesus. And so I want us to consider, how are you coming close to brothers and sisters in need and helping carrying their burdens with them? Who is someone that God has put in your path that you can help carry their burden today? And then I want you also to consider, what burden are you not sharing? What burden would someone be blessed and encouraged to carry with you? And who could you share that burden with today? Don't hold it inside and keep it to yourself, but experience the goodness of God in community and share that burden with another. And see what God wants to do with you in that. So as family members, we carry and share burdens. And then lastly, I want us to look at these last few verses in Galatians with point number 4. As family who bears one another's burdens, we examine our own lives to please God. We examine our own lives to please God. Why do we say that? Because verses 3 through 5 say, So bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. And I'm going to use she, her, all of that language. For if anyone thinks she is something when she is nothing. And now this verse is very contrary to our culture's self-image talk, right? We often are hearing, reading, promoting self-esteem. Oh no, you're not nothing. You're amazing. You're everything. You do you. We have all of this language that promotes this inner self-esteem that really in the end gets us nowhere. Those things can be true in Jesus Christ, but Jesus himself in John 15 says that apart from him, we are nothing and we can do nothing. The whole language of bearing fruit comes from the vine picture of John 15. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches attached to the vine. So we're not a vine on our own, sustaining life and having a good self-esteem, self-image. We are attached to, abiding in Jesus, the vine. And by Jesus, through his Spirit's power, we bear fruit. So when we think of ourselves better than we really are, or less than we really are, back to the conceit, the provoking and the envying, when we have a false view of ourselves, we are deceived. Deception is from the evil one. It's a part of the present evil age. It's a false reality. And so Paul is warning the person, the Christian, the brothers and sisters, that if they have a wrong view of themselves, they are deceived and they're caught in their own trap of pride. Verse 4, but let each one test her own work. What does he mean by this? Let each one test her own work. Because again, it's like, well, are we to not boast or are we to boast? Because why do we have reason to boast in ourselves? We're not boasting in ourselves, right? It seems kind of confusing, but I don't think it is. Once you unpack it and understand what Paul's writing here, he's contrasting. He's saying, let each one test his own work. For us, ladies, it means examine your own life and see what God has called you to do. What has God gifted you with? Because in verse 5, it says, for each will have to bear her own load. And so let's think back to that picture of traveling, right? I've got my backpack here. I know many of you moms, it was just spring break, many of you pack for your families. And I think it would be really terrible if we packed a bag for our little ones and our children that they couldn't actually carry on their own. That's not what we usually do, right? We usually pack a backpack that's suitable to the one carrying it. And I want you to think of your Heavenly Father giving you a backpack for the journey of life. In the way that He's made you in His image, He's given you spiritual gifts. He's created you with purpose. He's blessed you so that you will bless others. All that He's given you is in your pack, right? I want you to think about this. The reason why I'm using this language is because when it says each will have to bear their own load, load is a different Greek word than burdens up in verse 2. Load is the word that they would use for a person's pack, a backpack. And so just as the scriptures teach us that each and every person will have to give an account for herself to God one day, in the same way, we have our own responsibilities to take care of. We have our own packs to carry in the journey of life. These are our own gifts that we steward. These are the things that God has given us. So I want us to consider and search our hearts, because sometimes we like to forsake those responsibilities and we want somebody else to carry those for us too. We want to give it all up and we don't want to carry our own load. But that's not what we're called to. So I want you to consider, what grace has God given you to carry and to share? As you examine your life, look and see, what gifts has He given you to steward? How has He made you to bless others? And how are you bearing fruit for Him? That's the examination that God wants you to have before Him. We examine our own lives in comparison to what God has given us and who He calls us to be. We do not examine our lives compared to the other sisters journeying on the path with us. We don't think of ourselves like, well, at least I'm not like her, stuck in that sin. Or, man, I could never be like her. I'll only ever sin. Both are the conceited false views of self. And they're in comparison to a brother or sister in Christ, when God has called us not to compare to one another, but He's called us to know who we are in Jesus and to examine our lives according to His law of love. And when we look and see that we're carrying our own load, we can be secure and trust that Jesus will provide all we need at the day of judgment. When that day comes, we'll have carried our own load and, Lord willing, we'll have bared burdens with our brothers and sisters in Christ along in the journey. And so I want us to be careful, because Paul over and over again has reminded us of our pride and the danger that we might slip up in if we don't watch out and not be tempted ourselves. And so, ladies, five verses, and the focus was hardly ever on the sinner in the community. The focus was on the brothers and sisters and their role to love one another when things are difficult, when sin is a problem, and when we need help. And so I want you to consider that. As we've been studying this book that is so full of grace, as we look ahead and the journey together, we know there's going to be sin. We know there's going to be burdens. They're assumed in these verses. That's even encouraging in itself, right? He didn't say if we're led by the Spirit of God and we keep in step with the Spirit of God, then life is just rainbows and butterflies the rest of our days as we fly up to heaven. That's not the picture we have. If we're led by the Spirit, we bear burdens with one another. Family bears one another's burdens. And one day when we come to meet Jesus face to face, we can meet Him with our backpack and trust that Jesus had supplied all that we needed in our journey as we carried one another's burdens on the road to heaven. So I want to encourage you, bear one another's burdens. May we be a sisterhood that looks and sees the burdens of others, that gets close in so that we can actually take their burden into our own hands, that we can put our shoulders up under their burden and relieve their pain, relieve their stress. It doesn't go away. It doesn't take it from them, but it lightens the load as we journey on toward heaven. May we be women who bear one another's burdens.